Monday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Joshua Briscoe here with you for the next couple of hours. Marco Marquez on the other side of the glass, hitting the buttons, keeping us on air, picking the music, setting the mood. I got into a habit, I just realized. I'm opening like windows in a computer that I don't even need. Like I was going to try to get all the video stream stuff up on that we do on almost entirely sports every night here on Sports Radio 810. I realized we're not. That's not this show. There's light out and I'm a little groggy. Like morning groggy, you know? I'm not that groggy, to be honest. I feel like the energy is going to be okay through the course of the next couple hours.
Okay.
And we got a bunch of things to talk about. So things could be worse. I do like to say that this is very, very kind of inside really everything, but sometimes that's the most fun stuff. And I'm guessing this is probably a regular move for the illustrious producer extraordinaire Marco Marquez. But whenever I walk in on a Sunday morning, because usually it's Blake Schneiders, he's off today, so Marco is in. Whenever I walk into the studio, I like to look into the control room and just kind of get, you know, a visual of just how the board op is doing at that point. Because that was a job that I did for a very long time, running the weekend morning shows. And it will put gray hairs in your head. Because you don't sleep like a normal person anymore, right? It's not quite the border patrol, but you don't ever fully hit REM sleep because hours like 3 through 4 that you get to sleep in are just stressed about making sure you wake up on time.
Oh yeah,
you can't leave Dr. Jacobs without a board op.
No,
that's the nuclear option. Can't do that. But Blake has really gotten into this range that I think, Marco, at least today you've infringed on, where I look in and that room is just about as dark as it can reasonably be. You just picked up a ceramic coffee mug, not like a travel mug, but it's got like, what does it say, number one grad? Did you graduate? Congratulations.
Thank you. I got it for myself in Arkansas.
That's very. Did you actually graduate?
Yes, I did. It was motivation to graduate in the summer since I did it in the
spring.
Wow,
that's great. See, you gotta find. I love that. You gotta.
I didn't know it was ceramic. That's a good eye.
Well, I just saw like it's a coffee mug. You know, it's a mug. It's not. This isn't some metal mug with a no spill lid or whatever. That's the real stuff. I like the little buying yourself an incentive. You know, to push through to the end. Because you're not going to get the normal ceremony, I imagine, graduating in a summer.
No, yeah, and not even during a pandemic, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even thought of it. So you just graduated. This is a fresh mug.
This is a fresh mug. Well, it was at a thrift store in Arkansas, so I don't know who the previous owner. It's fresh to me.
Did you wash it before you used it?
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Well,
I thought part of the whole like thrifting experience was to like wear it, was like to use the piece, not washing it, because you gotta, embrace the previous owner's use. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, by the way, I just turned my headphones up, so if it felt like I was yelling through the first 6 minutes, it's because I was. It's because my audio wasn't loud enough. Just on my end. I don't know why I didn't turn it up before. Yeah, it's like a cast iron pan. You know, you want the seasoning to really, you want it to be in there. You don't want to scrub that out because that's where all the flavor is. But for you, it's just that you know, some recent college grad putting a bunch of their Keurig cup juice into that mug and apparently they never washed it either, and then they just sat it on a shelf in a Savers. You got to keep all that good coffee grime in there. That's where the flavor is.
Experience.
That's where the energy comes from. You basically graduated twice because you got to just reuse the grad mug. Anyway.
I wonder if that person bought them for themselves or if it was a gift.
Great question. I have a graduation mug that at this point now is like sort of strangely old. I'm trying to figure out when I graduated. I think I graduated in 2017, which is like a million years ago now. I'm an old man. I don't like this. It's very weird having been the absolute youngest person that works here,
mm-hmm.
and then now you're telling me like, hey, look at my mug. I just graduated high school, I presume. Like I just graduated. You know, I'm 13 years old. I shouldn't even be allowed to work here. That's sort of the vibe I'm getting from you right now, and it's really upsetting because it's just putting my mortality right in the crosshairs. I don't like it.
I wouldn't mind being 13 because I hear because I learn I'm learning now as you got older. I just got taken off my parents' dental and vision.
Yeah, that happened to me at the end of this at the beginning of this year.
That was such a blow of a phone call.
Yeah, dude.
Your mom, you get that call from your mom like, hey, so you know you went to the dentist last week. Yeah. Well, you're not covered anymore.
Oh no, you got the call too late.
Got the call too late.
Oh my goodness, they'll charge you $400 a chomper there. That is an expensive. That is an expensive mistake. Oh yeah, that's terrible.
I you know what I want to say it's an overlook, but you know what, they're working with us on the payment part. It's fine. It's whatever.
That's nice.
That's a growing pain.
Yes.
Right there.
I'll tell you what my insurance issue of years past was. I was still covered by my parents' insurance at the time, but I've gotten really bad allergies in the spring a number of times. Like there were a couple of years, and it depends on the year, which is weird. I'm hoping that all of this cold will kill just every plant within 1,000 miles of me. Like I'm ready for just, if it looked like fallout outside, my first thought would be, well, there's probably no more pollen to fly into my nose. But a couple years ago, I just had, like, my eyes were red 24/7, and it was because of allergies. Nothing else. No other reason. My eyes were red 24/7. I breathed like a pug, you know? It's just, everything was just, it was just horrible. That was a pretty good pug impression, say so myself.
You had some work. You had some practice.
I'm also allergic to pugs, which is really sad. But I just, everything outside was just trying to kill me. And so I went and I got a full, like, allergy test where, like, they put little needles in your back and then they, Marco is learning about allergy tests right now.
I thought that was like a therapeutic thing where they put needles in your back.
So that's like an acupuncture. I don't really want to do, because I'm not looking for more needles. I'm not like afraid of them, but I'm not seeking them out either.
Of course.
But the allergy test, they just like inject a tiny, my understanding is, if we have an allergist listening to the show, I mean, I guess you could call in and correct me if I'm wrong, but also probably not worth it. I'm going to get it wrong again soon. They inject a tiny bit of the allergen into your back and then see how much it like swells up or like how red the rash gets. And then they mark that and they say, all right, so how allergic are you to whatever. I didn't think that I would need to bring this in with me today. I do not have my results. Some of them were very funny. They test you for like a cockroach allergy.
Okay, all right.
Just assume you're allergic to cockroaches.
That's like a sneak attack on someone.
Yeah, but like why? Like don't worry about it. Just assume you're allergic to cockroaches and then don't like touch or eat them. That's fine. But I'm just allergic to every tree and every piece of pollen and every pet and all of that stuff. And that was one of those times where I went and did it all up and everything. It's like, all right, here's my insurance card, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, yeah, that'll be $500. Do you want to do a payment plan? And I was like, excuse me? And also, yes, I do. Why is that not covered? I'm still to this day not totally sure. Whatever it is, it's just some things aren't covered. The American insurance system is awesome and perfect. That's really the main. Welcome to Insurance Sunday. Everything is fine.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
That's a reference right there.
To the Lego movie, right?
No, yeah.
I watched the first one. It was pretty good.
Batman one was really good.
Don't think I ever saw the Batman one.
You get ready to laugh. Get ready to get ready to chuckle.
Is that on the poster? Does the movie poster just have Will Arnett, Lego Batman? It just says, get ready to laugh, get ready to chuckle. Lego Batman the movie. Get ready to chuckle again. What? Why did we say that twice? No idea. It's all of this is on the poster.
Now we're a TV show.
So the thing I was going to say is that I walked in and I look into the control room every time I come in here. And I like to gauge the level of light in the control room, because that right there, that is the indicator of how you're doing. And last week I walked in and it was pitch black, and Blake had like the timer set for like a 6-minute nap, you know? I'm not trying to put him on blast. I also did this many times.
It's like a snooze alarm.
So really what you do is, if you've got like an hour on tape, not that radio's ever not live, if you have a 20-minute segment, you know, that you get rolling, and it's 6, 7 a.m. on a weekend, and maybe you're living a lifestyle that only allows you to get a little bit of sleep that night before you're really scraping along, you hit play on a 20-minute segment. You set yourself a little 15-minute alarm, and then a 17-minute alarm, and then an 18-minute alarm, and then an 18-and-a-half-minute alarm. And you get a little power nap in there during a segment. I came in, and it is a dim room. It was not pitch black for you, Marco, but it was a dim room today, which I do feel like is probably a pretty good indicator of just how your morning has gone.
I just like having a dark room. As you can see right now, I don't even have... It just gets bright in here.
That's true, but that also gets exaggerated by extenuating circumstances, including but not necessarily limited to it being very early in the morning on a weekend.
Yeah, the sun even getting through the blinds is still a little
defensive.
Even when Dr. Andy left, I went into the studio and had to turn off the light because I just like a dark room. I'm gonna be here alone. I'm just gonna lay back because I will take a snooze once in a while. But there's just something about not wanting to be in a bright room in the morning. Like when you woke up from school, when you woke up for school back in the day.
Yeah.
Would it be cold? Would your parents come on, just turn the lights on, and be like, "Wake up, Josh"?
So this is gonna send us down an even deeper rabbit hole. We'll talk about KU in a minute. I got a lot of Chiefs takes, a lot of NFL talk. It's coming. Don't worry about it. I was homeschooled for a long, significant portion of my life. So basically, I would, you know, like the one of the stereotypes that are absolutely 100% true. The, like, I'm doing math in my pajamas in the basement or whatever, 100% accurate. 100% accurate. Now, I don't know how to do math, which is sort of, you know, another one of the stereotypes that ends up coming to fruition. Numbers, they just look like little squiggles to me. But I probably didn't have as many kind of rude awakenings. Now I am a set three alarms because I've been burned before person.
Yeah.
That's where I've ended up at this point, where it's just like, even if all of the alarms do fire and I wake up and I think I'm going to and everything is firing on all cylinders, even then there is a 50-50 chance that I'm falling asleep before I get fully powered back up. And so, like, today was one of the days where I think I had three alarms go off a total of six or seven times.
You have your days where you get in 30 minutes before the show, or you have them where you get in 5 minutes before.
Oh, I have zero stress in, like, about, like, getting here 5 or 10 minutes mm-hmm. before a show. There are the days, and I had a couple of these days running shows also, especially that 6 a.m. wake up call. Not the wake up call, the first crack of the Midwest Outdoors on Saturday morning. There were a couple of times, I think there were probably two different times when I was sitting down, plugging in headphones, opening the intro, taking it out of auto, hitting buttons 30 seconds ahead of time. And Midwest Outdoor guys, they knew my game. I knew theirs.
Oh, yeah.
There was only one day where it just did not, where my alarm just did not happen. That was a bad day. I still have stress dreams about that day. That was probably it was probably about 5 years ago at this point. It'll live with you forever. It'll haunt your dreams. Except for my dream, I get here and I forgot to put on pants. But I got into a real groove in that regard, being able to just hit everything 15, 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you the sports thing that just made me very nervous?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this really quick. I've got ESPN up in here. This has just been a nice story time morning. I've enjoyed this. But I saw, I'm a Phoenix Suns fan, which means I'm having a pretty good time right now.
You are.
Devin Booker has been great. That's been fun. But you get Chris Paul in the mix now. Been a lot of fun this year. It's also something I can just follow, like, relatively casually. Like, I can give you, you know, the starting five and a couple guys off the bench. But my job doesn't hinge on me being able to talk about the Phoenix Suns. So it's kind of nice. But I just saw up on ESPN a picture of Chris Paul with the slick Valley, the Valley jerseys,
Black
the
jerseys,
city, just
yeah.
Love them.
Mm.
And then the text, do you have ESPN up in there?
I'm watching it.
Did
yeah,
you
yeah.
see the text that was up next to a picture of Chris Paul?
I did.
What did you see it say?
I saw, I just got Oscar Robinson's name, because you said ESPN,
okay.
I looked up.
So what it said right before that was passing a legend. And now we know Chris Paul has passed Oscar Robertson for sixth on the NBA's all-time assist lists. I saw a picture of Chris Paul and the words passing of a legend, and I thought I may have just learned about a horrible tragedy involving Chris Paul. And I don't know how I wouldn't have seen it on TweetDeck within the last, like, 2 hours I've been awake. I don't know, but I just saw it. If I wasn't awake a second ago, I am now, because I had to read and react and then refocus back in. Passing a legend. Chris Paul has passed a legend in the all-time assist lists. I was shook for about 3 full seconds. What? No. What?
You did sit back in your chair. You had to take yourself back a little bit.
I did, and now I'm just reading it, but now I'm looking at the screen just seeing, like, how many legendary assist leaders were members of the Suns at one point or another, which is kind of interesting. Like, I think it was the top five or the top seven or eight they just showed right there. Chris Paul, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Obvi. Talking about, like, three of the top six or something?
No, they were an assist team. They've had some good players come through.
And
there.
Just some really excellent point guards, I guess. Anyway.
They stay on point.
There it is.
That reminds me of a time where
story.
It's when I just like heard Eddie Murphy had died in a skiing accident and just sent out like a big message to my friends about it, like with a link. You know those celebrity death hoax that just happened?
Oh,
they never
man.
Let me down for it.
No, that's good. Now the issue is Boy Who Cried Wolf. One of these days, we're going to lose a legend, and you are going to text your friends, and you're going to get a response back of just like a gif of Donkey from Shrek. You know, it's like, no, that's not. You fool us once, shame on you. Fool us 15 times about the untimely death of Eddie Murphy. Shame on me.
I didn't really believe that Eddie Murphy was skiing, too.
That wouldn't be a weird way for him to go. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Eddie Murphy was Donkey in Shrek, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right,
he's
thank
making
God.
Waffles.
I got very nervous that I had misplaced Eddie Murphy. How many Shrek movies did they end up making?
3, with a Christmas special one, probably. My friend, or my roommate, he actually can do Toy Story and Shrek line by line. You start the movie, he can quote it through the whole thing.
Really?
Yes.
So, this is an old story, and then we're going to talk about KU.
We swear.
I put out a tweet, you know, before the show to, like, tag us and tell people, you know, here's what's coming up on the show. And it never has the right first segment on a Sunday. At night, sometimes we actually get there. But unless something happened on Saturday that I'm, like, absolutely hyped for.
Mm-hmm.
Last Sunday, we started off with a brunch draft because it was Valentine's Day.
I saw that, yes.
And it was a nice experience. Today's been about... Say that again?
You didn't have any potatoes.
I didn't. It was a huge oversight. It was not a choice. It was more like I got to the end of the draft without a corner. I hadn't taken a cornerback. I was like, well, that's just me making a terrible mistake. I was really happy with the rest of my list, but that was a terrible mistake. Here is just a paragraph from ScreenRant.com about Shrek 5. Now, this is from November 2020, I believe. So this has been on the shelf for a little bit.
It's Academy Award winner, Shrek.
Academy Award winning. Shrek the Ogre actually won an award for best actor in a nonfiction, in a documentary or comedy. Due to the continuing debate about whether the fifth installment of the franchise should be a reboot, a sequel, a remake, or a live-action film, Shrek 5 was almost canceled entirely. Apparently, they are going to make Shrek 5, which I guess means there's a Shrek 4, which I have not seen. Is that Shrek 4 Ever After? Hold on, maybe that.
I know they took it to Broadway. Shrek went to Broadway.
Have you seen that?
No.
I've seen clips, and I am in a very major way tempted to actually watch it.
They did a SpongeBob one, too. SpongeBob went to Broadway.
I did see also a little bit of that.
Oh my
But they both seem a bit jarring. I feel like I heard that was actually, like, good
it
in a way.
It got a lot of Tony nominations.
Okay. I don't think Shrek had the same fate. I don't think Shrek got a lot of Tony noms. Shrek Forever After, previously promoted as Shrek the Final Chapter, and promoted for home release as Shrek Forever After the Final Chapter, is a 2010 computer animated comedy film loosely based on the 1990 picture book Shrek by William Steig.
So, like, not the Mike Myers then?
No, I guess that must also be based loosely off the book. Shrek Forever After the Final Chapter, blah, 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 was the one with Rumpelstiltskin, it looks like. I did see that one. I don't know. That's the fourth installment. So, Shrek the Final Chapter 3D, as it was released in theaters in America, apparently, was the fourth one, but they just abandoned the numbers at that point.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, the redhead guy, yep.
Yeah.
I remember.
Looked like a little troll doll.
Yep.
That was Rumpelstiltskin, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Who cares?
Exactly. I saw the third one in theaters, and I was good with that. You know, the Do the Roar.
Yeah, I remember.
The Do the Roar Kid.
I remember Do the Roar Kid. It took me a second. It definitely took me a second for that one to fully buffer in my brain, but I got there. Long settled into married life and fully domesticated, Shrek begins to long for the days when he felt like a real ogre. So Shrek Forever After is just Shrek's midlife crisis.
I think so, yeah.
Shrek buys a motorcycle. It should have been if it was called Shrek Buys a Motorcycle, I would have remembered this film.
They're going to do animated shorts now. Bring back DreamWorks movies.
I think more shorts in general is a good thing.
Especially if you're going to... It would be nice with the reboots that they're making, you know? Instead of just making a 2-hour and 40-minute movie, just make a nice 20, 30. That's all we need. We just need the reminder of the nostalgia.
It's like how songs keep getting shorter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of who the biggest offender is of that. I feel like Lil Uzi Vert's never made a song over 3 minutes, you know, which is fine. That's okay. We're in a streaming world. You get your play a little sooner. I don't need the third hook.
Right.
I almost said the third chorus, and I don't really know if Uzi necessarily has choruses as much as hooks. But I don't need the third pass through the chorus.
No.
I don't need the extra extended cut of We Are the Champions at this point. It's fine.
Isn't it like We Are the Champions, like, cut into two songs? Like, the first one is, We Will Rock You, and then it goes, I don't know, the one that you hear on the radio all the time?
So here's a crazy story, and then we're going to talk about KU. One of the very first songs I ever bought on iTunes, I remember to this day, was that version of We Are the Champions / We Will Rock You.
Okay, all right.
And it was like an 8-minute version. The problem was, and listen, I wasn't gonna spend 99 cents twice, you know. So I bought that one, but I think somewhere in my 13-year-old brain, I was thinking, well, this one's got more song. I'm gonna buy the longer version of it?
Because
it's got more song. I'm getting more seconds per cent in this version. And then I got it, and I did not listen to it as much as I would have certainly listened to just the original version of either of the two tracks, because there was basically a fish-like intro, this tantric 47-minute-long opening riff.
Oh, yeah.
Did not have the same power.
Get the U2 for each song on there, too, or album.
Yeah, it's just not... Mistakes were made at that point, and that's what I figured out. Bigger is not always better. Longer is not always better in terms of buying songs. Nothing else. Talking about songs.
Just songs.
Just songs.
And Shrek.
And Shrek films. That's right.
Which is another soundtrack.
an elite movie soundtrack. Absolutely. I think we just did 30 minutes of radio. I'm not going to give any opinions on if it was good radio or not, but we've just done 30 minutes of radio. Whenever we come back, I'll talk about KU's win yesterday over Texas Tech. Bill Self had something nice to say about his team, which is a nice change of pace, depending on if you're paying close attention to how things were going just a few weeks back. I've got a feeling that this is, at the very, very least, I got nothing bad to say about KU from yesterday. Again, a nice change of pace. We'll talk about that next year on Sports Sunday. Keeping the Shrek energy all day long here on Sports Sunday. That's the promise that I can make to you. I'm Joshua Briscoe here on Sports Sunday. Marco Marquez on the other side of the glass, picking the music, getting us in the right headspace. I just saw this. I missed this last night. That Draymond Green got ejected with 9 seconds left in the game. And then the Warriors lost to the Hornets. That's funny. It's just funny. I don't have a big take on it. It's just Draymond getting in trouble at the end of games, straight up just costing his team. Because I think they're up 2 at the time. And then also being the guy that is very willing to give out his opinions about everything going on around the league around him. I'm completely here for all aspects of it. I just enjoy the spectacle.
They let Terry Rozier go off on him yesterday.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah. He had like 30-something points.
Oh, scary Terry. That's my only analysis on Terry Rozier.
No, that's fine.
I can just say scary Terry.
They brought in LaMelo Ball for a reason, and he's shining.
And it's to sit in the back seat behind Terry Rozier.
And learn and study.
And learn.
Learn to be scary.
That's right. They brought him in to just be a sponge to soak up everything that Terry Rozier can teach him.
Well, Terry,
he's been excellent though, right?
Oh yeah, he's gonna probably be one rookie of the year.
That makes sense.
Terry learned behind Isaiah Thomas, the Washington Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
is that his name, Isaiah Thomas?
It is.
Okay,
I think so. There's definitely two Isaiah Thomases. I don't know about Terry Rozier's connection to the elder Isaiah Thomas. But I believe you. You sounded very confident when you said.
Well, I was talking about the younger, when they were both with the Celtics.
They also definitely would have been on that Celtics team.
Yes,
I think that's true. I don't know if I would say that he necessarily learned a lot from the very small Isaiah Thomas, the very small one who was for a while going back to my NBA aptitude, a member of the 3-point guard Suns lineups for. I believe that experiment lasted for one full year. It was that Isaiah Thomas, Eric Bledsoe, and Goran Dragic, and then they were all gone 30 minutes later, and the team stunk again.
But they're back. They're back.
But
to
they're
where
back
they
now. Be. They're back now, which has been exciting. You know who else is back? Say Kansas basketball.
Kansas basketball. Kansas basketball back.
Great. Great answers, Marco. Here's the thing from yesterday. We're not going to dive completely face first, neck deep into nothing but KU for the next hour and a half. But after the game, Bill Self said, as you could have heard right here on Sports Radio 810, perhaps you did hear it right here on Sports Radio 810, he said, "This is the most excited I've been about our team all year." Now, I think that kind of doesn't matter. Kind of does matter. Here's how I can split specifically that quote up. One is that you just beat a good team after, stacking a few blowouts against not very good teams. I'm seeing Terry Rozier highlights on my screen right now. Scary Terry. This is the time that you should feel confident saying you're excited about your team. Here's the other thing, though. At this point, and Bill Self, this may be controversial, I think he's a good college basketball coach. I think he, generally speaking, knows what he's doing. So I don't think it should come as any surprise that you get the team's best stretch, really, finally capped off by a win over a good team. They beat Oklahoma State at the beginning of this winning streak, so I don't want to say they haven't beaten a good team in a million years or whatever. But really, this stretch was nice win over Oklahoma State. Then you beat Iowa State back-to-back. You beat K-State. All teams you should be beating. But then with Texas Tech yesterday, it was one of those teams that was genuinely sort of lined up as a peer of Kansas this year. They're ranked ahead of KU right now. I'll be very curious to see. I mean, that has to change, I'd imagine, in the next ranking cycle. But you look at the teams that KU has beaten as of late and the streak that they're on, and then also how much season is left. It shouldn't surprise you that Bill Self's not waiting for one more win to say that. And if they beat Texas coming up here in a couple of days, I think it's Tuesday night, if they end up beating Texas on Tuesday, they secure the two out of three stretch that I think they needed in these last three games, and it was Texas and then Baylor to close out the season. Now, if they win all three of those games, they're going to go from the like team you roll your eyes in disgust at whenever they're getting blown out at home against the Longhorns back so many games ago, to the team that everyone has making a sneaky run from the three line in their bracket. If they are able, though, to win even just two of these, now one of these next two games, because they got one under their belt, maybe they go on, maybe they win the Big 12 tournament. Maybe they lose to Baylor at the end of the Big 12 tournament. Whatever. It does set KU up to be figuring it out at the right time. So part of the reason I don't think it's a huge deal, just specifically kind of dissecting Bill Self, is that this is the time you need to probably yank that line out. And you can't just call your team, you don't want to just call your team soft forever. Eventually, they show, hey, here's us not being soft, which Bill Self calls every team at least once a year. We're just not very good right now. It was just terrible. We're just not very good. We're just kind of soft right now. And then they beat some crappy teams, beat a good team, and say, hey, you know what? I'm excited about this team again. I think that's genuine, but it's also, you know, makes sense is the right time to say it. The thing that I do think matters is that Bill Self isn't typically, he's not typically making up reasons to be optimistic, even this late in the year. And also, I think it is genuinely earned. Maybe the most important thing, though, and the thing that will be really interesting to see, will this transfer over to Texas? Will this transfer to Baylor? Will this transfer through the Big 12 tournament? And then ultimately, it will be the thing that decides how long they're playing in March Madness. Is can you get the combination of David McCormick playing some of his best ball, which he's been really good as of late. We talked to Scott Chasen of 24/7 Sports and Fog.net on Almost Entirely Sports this last week, and I asked him the question that I've brought up a couple times, which is like, hey, if you're just joining in to KU basketball right now, because your whole life has been about the Chiefs up to this point, you know, what has the storyline been, or what have you missed? And Scott's take was essentially, well, honestly, if that's where your head's at, you're probably joining at about the right time, because I think KU is right now actually finding their footing. This is probably the closest they've been to being a fully functioning team that, like, has a strategy. Now, the crazy thing is that they were not electric from three yesterday. Christian Brown was 2 of 10.
Yeah, they shot 8 of 26.
It's not necessarily the raining down from beyond the arc that you would love to see come tournament time. At least Brown keeps shooting, man. I guess that the last thing you want him to do is stop shooting, even though it wasn't necessarily efficient. I'm going to say efficient in this situation. But if you can get an average performance from your outside guys, and you get some nice performances from Jalen Wilson, you get Ochai Agbaji, who's kind of, again, like, his storyline just over his time at KU has been so interesting to me, because it was an explosion. Although this dude, not only is this dude maybe the most talented player on the floor already, like, immediately he's going to be an NBA player in 45 minutes, and then he kind of disappeared a little bit, and he's got kind of these explosions. It seems like he's probably leveled out in a positive way. the rotation has shortened up in a way. Like yesterday, Mitch Lightfoot got 5 minutes, but everybody else, it was your five starters, Thompson and Harris, both in the teens, and then everybody from the starting lineup just pulled their weight. Kind of nice to see a little bit of a shortened bench that way, that you're not trying to figure out what your best rotation looks like. It feels like a more sort of confident effort. And all right, we've figured out what we are. We've got David McCormick playing like, I think Chris Beard said that he might be the best big man in the Big 12 or whatever. And he's had a stretch where that argument is reasonable. It's a funny argument if you were paying attention at the beginning of the season and zoned out for a while to watch some football and then pop back in just now. And he's still not Udo Kazabuki, right? But he doesn't have to be, because KU's not going to ask him to be Doak at this point. But if he can be the best version of David McCormick, if he can continue learning to dunk or being willing to dunk, there is extreme value directly in that. And to have this effort against Texas Tech where you're not, again, raining down threes, this isn't just like everything goes right for you. This isn't an everything goes right all at once for you effort, but you just have the lead the entire game, keep Tech at a nice, decent arm's length, gets tighter at the end, but it wasn't like you didn't need some miracle or whatever. It's a nice feeling to be watching KU at this point, just kind of lining up their shots, not literally. This is more figurative now. Just to have them figuratively lining up what their identity is, what they're trying to do, execute at a decently high level, and just beat good teams in close games. There's nothing wrong with that. They're still not Baylor or Gonzaga. The good news is if you do have all of your shooters making all their shots all at once, you're in one game sample size territory in the tournament, literally anything can happen. And I actually kind of like that about KU's roster construction for all the reasons that it would be great if they had a little more here or there. I kind of like that they have the outside shot of hitting the outside shots and just having some sort of little explosion there. If Christian Brown just becomes Tyler Hero for a game, why did I compare him to Tyler Hero and not another, you know, like excellent 3-point shooter? No way of knowing. But if you get that kind of incredible explosive effort, you have reason to talk yourself into KU pulling off an upset in a one-game sample size. But we're not really at that territory yet. If they do it against Baylor to close out the regular season, that would be really exciting. And if it ends up just solely being about beating the teams in front of you, making a little run in the postseason, fine. You'll take that. But it was nice to see from yesterday, Bill Self being, by his standards in some terms, effusive in his praise, just a solid effort that makes you feel good about the fact that they haven't just beat crummy teams for the last 2 weeks. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, I don't know what we'll talk about, honestly. I got a lot of NFL things. Like, I can give you the short version of my Deshaun Watson to the AFC West take. Cooked a little bit of that up on Friday. I can give you just a little taste of that. We'll do some Royals talk at the top of the next hour. We'll figure it out here on Sports Sunday. Did you see the giant mountain of meat Arby's sandwich that Arby's is now promoting?
Yeah, I did. And I saw the replies, too.
Here's the thing. So if you haven't seen, Arby's has a sandwich called the Meat Mountain, I think is what they're calling it.
Yep.
And it appears to have a fried chicken patty thing, a fried chicken breast, some turkey, ham, Swiss cheese, some other sort of meat that does appear to be the roast beef, then maybe some corned beef, then the roast beef, then some cheddar, and then maybe more roast beef of a different sort, and then bacon. And it's just, I mean, it's a meat mountain. Like this, if you take a one bite of this sandwich, you're probably consuming 10 different literal animals. You're getting a bite of 10 different animals just in one chomp here.
That is accurate. Yeah, it's a tall sandwich too.
It is not hefty. And then now someone did order it and then tweeted out a picture of it just like, you know, wrapped up, and it was not as flattering of a visual.
Does it come with a sauce?
It's got to come with all the sauces. You have to be allowed to eat it by, you know, I don't know how long it's been since some people have been in an Arby's. It's been a minute for me, but they have the little fountains, you know, that you can just push the thingy on the top and it just squirts out into like a little ketchup.
Yeah,
little like, ramekin kind of thingy.
Like you get Oklahoma Joe's.
Sure. So, Oklahoma Joe's. I don't even know who she is.
Oh my goodness, Kansas City Joe's. My bad. I grew up around there, around that port.
It's just Joe's now. Just Joe's.
That's good. I'm gonna stick with good Joe's.
Joe's, non-locational Joe's. But yeah, you can get, you know, the Arby's sauce, the horsey sauce, the three pepper sauce. If you get the Meat Mountain sandwich, they have to bring you that entire contraption and just let you stick your sandwich under it like the messy orc that you are and just shove all of the sauces on it all at once, because you're going to need some extra lubricant to chew this sandwich. There is a lot of meat here.
What's the instrument that...
An accordion?
The accordion.
Is it a meat accordion? Yes, absolutely. You have to eat this thing. You know what it really is? You put a skewer through it, and it's like a thing of gyro meat.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of shaving off a little lamb meat, you're shaving off 15 different types of Arby's meat.
We're just coming up with different ways to eat it, attack it.
Because there's no way you just open your jaw like Dagwood and throw this thing down. There's no chance. Anyway, I would absolutely try it.
Yes.
I mean, just not a question.
Arby's gets a lot of, like, bash on, but
yeah.
I will still go there and eat.
So, again, I just really have been surprised where this show has taken us, and that's sometimes the most fun. You just got to buckle in, put your arms up. It's a Sunday morning.
That's why I waited to have my coffee until you got here.
You needed that little boost of potentially going to talk about Arby's energy. You got to try. First of all, I absolutely would try it. Second of all, you're right. Arby's catches a lot of flack because it's Arby's, you know? Like, it's hard to say, can I get a beef and cheddar sandwich through a drive-thru in a way that isn't going to be kind of violent? Like, it's just, you know what you're asking for. You are literally saying, like, all right, like, bleep me up, let's go, just hand it over. And then you get a, you know, it's all greasy. And then they have their horseradish sauce is called a horsey sauce, because they think their only consumers are children. I get it. Arby's sauce just has their name on it. And then you get the curly fries. It's just a big, greasy bag of just things that are going to make you feel good when you're eating them and then immediately stop making you feel good immediately after. I think that's... People judge Arby's with the last thing they remember being the very long nap they take immediately after eating it. You cannot go get Arby's on your lunch break, right? It's like there's the Five Guys. I've mentioned this many times over my various avenues of speaking on this radio station. There's a Five Guys right next to the station, basically.
Oh, yeah.
It is a like where it's not quite the same parking lot, but it's like a parking lot over. Some days, really, and this has been a very long time since I've even done this, but you can go buy Five Guys and then get it to go, or you could eat there in the before times. I guess in the lobby is open, but I'm not really trying to do that. You can go to Five Guys if your next location that you're going is home. That's what you do. You cannot, I cannot work here over the course of the day and be, all right, hey, Rudy, I'm going to go grab some food. I'm going to go drop by Five Guys. I'll be back in 20 minutes, and then let's do a radio show. I made that mistake one time.
Oh, you did it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because I'm an idiot. And I just did a radio show with cement in my stomach. Delicious cement, but just cement in my stomach. Arby's has a similar sort of impact. If you are, you know, door dashing Arby's to your house and maybe you've been, you know, consuming some beverages, incredibly clutch. Maybe it's just the food you get for a little lazy weekend day, and I'm all the way here for it. Maybe it's the reward on your way home from work or from, I don't know, a doctor's appointment in for peak irony. Like, you know what? I went through something today. I had to go. I got an allergy test in my back. I got poked full of things I'm allergic to. You know what would really soothe my spirit? A meat mountain from Arby's. Just grease me up like the pig that I am and cover me in horsey sauce. I'm going to Arby's.
Arby's is like that fast food place that says, you will eat. You know, I feel like it mocks the customers. Like, we're going to make this outrageous thing, and you're still going to eat it.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Arby's is the place that says, that starts making oinking noises at you. And say, come on, little piggy, come on. You want to eat this triple cheesy bacon roast beef cluster bleep? What if we put turkey on it? What if we fry it with an apple pie? Do they have apple pies? I don't know. You know what we're gonna do? Here we're gonna put some curly fries on it, and then you can just dip it straight into a Jamocha shake. That's Arby's. That is the offering they will make to you. And you catch me at the right time, I'll welcome it with open arms. Cause it's delicious. It will.
What would you put it down with? Like, what was it? Does it come with a side? I feel like you don't need
bleach.
A side. What's the drink of choice?
For just the meat mountain?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the bleeped up part, Marco. You gotta have the curly fries. You can't leave Arby's without curly fries. So I think you have to get the meat mountain, a large curly fry, because in for a penny, in for a pound, little Jamocha shake, and a Diet Coke. Because you got to watch your figure. We'll take a break. Real sports talk will be next here on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810.